I want to share something with you that I was blessed with last week. Last week, Barbara and I went to Phoenix, to Mesa, for 2 days of meetings. And one of the Bible teachers there in those meetings brought something out that just really made sense to me. And he brought out how that for years we have taught that to repent is not just to feel sorry for your sins and say, God, forgive me. But to repent is to be going a certain direction, and then you stop, and you turn around, and you go the other way. And this is the way we've taught it, and that is correct, but it's incomplete. And I'm going, what do you mean it's incomplete? That sounds good to me. And so he brought it out through the Word and back into the original languages and brought it out through the Word in a beautiful way. And he showed us from the Scripture how that to repent is first to embrace a new understanding. In other words, you realize you're going the wrong way. And you embrace a new understanding. And then, secondarily, you turn around and you go the other way. And he taught on this, and it just began to make sense to me. He says, if you just, you know, stop and turn around and go the other way without the new understanding, then it won't be long till you'll be back going the other wrong way again. So you need to get a new understanding. You need to embrace a new understanding of why I'm going the wrong way and why I need to turn around and go the right way. And I just want to share that. Anybody here this morning that might be feeling repentance in your heart for anything, and you say, I just need to turn things around and go the other way. Well, embrace the understanding that maybe you've been going, not maybe, but embrace the understanding you've been going wrong. It's time to go right. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? And I just received that for myself and for you, and I know many of you do this morning. Let's get the understanding. Amen? And then we will make the right move. Such a beautiful thing. I just love this music so much, I don't even want it to stop. But if you want to sit down, go ahead. I'm going to share some things from the Word this morning. This is so good. So good. Everybody say, this is so good. And we want to welcome our visitors this morning. If you're a visitor, we just thank you so much for coming. And we just want you to keep coming if you can. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to share from the Word of God, and also I'm going to share from present truths that are coming forth from the body of Christ today around the nation, around the world. There's just amazing things happening. This is an amazing day to be living. Last Sunday, I shared a part of a prophecy with you that ended with this: my church will not be defeated by the loser. That's where I left you on a certain prophecy that I read to you by Dr. Tim Sheets, and he spoke by the Spirit of the Lord, my church will not be defeated by the loser. Anybody know who the loser is? Oh, Old Scratch. My mother-in-law used to call him Old Scratch. That Old Scratch. He's a loser. He's ugly. He's stupid. He's a loser, and the church will not be defeated by him. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just lay this before you. We thank you for your presence. It is so rich here this morning. And we just want you to just stay with that and stay with us. We don't want to do anything or say anything that would hinder anything you want done this morning. We just have seen your mighty hand move in the Spirit this morning, touching lives, changing lives. And we thank you, sir, for the mighty anointing that breaks every chain. In Jesus' name, we pray. Yes, amen. You might remember that on April the 9th, we had a work day here at the church, and we called it our Busy Bee Day, and it was just really exciting. We did the work day and did some work projects around the church, but we also had a prayer team going because nationwide, there were hundreds of thousands of people nationwide praying for the nation on the 9th, and so our prayer team here joined with that. We had some live prayer meetings from Los Angeles running them on the big screen here all day. And it was our Busy Bee Day as we worked around the church with our hands and also stayed in prayer for the nation. And we just like a beehive, active with many different jobs, both natural and spiritual. And it was just a sweet day. We also had a yard sale that day to help with our new carpet fund. And we raised right at $1,000 for the new carpet. Now, how about that? So thank you for that. Amen. So, you know, that Busy Bee Day really paid off both naturally and spiritually. And it was a good day. On that same day, part of the activities that we showed on the big screen, the live activities, was in Los Angeles at a big stadium there, where in the rain, all day rain. Ever been in Los Angeles when it was raining? Well, all day cold rain, there were 60,000 people in the rain all day praying for the nation. I'd call that dedication, wouldn't you? And they were from many, many camps and denominations. It was just a beautiful, beautiful thing. And many different cultures invited to participate. And the word of the Lord came forth in such beautiful ways as thousands of people around the nation prayed for the nation on that day. About the same time in Mexico, they were having in Mexico City what they term as Marcha de Gloria. And most of you know your Spanish well enough to know that's the glory march. Amen. March of glory. And they only had 1 million people participating and only 800,000 in the march parade. And they marched most of the day through the big city of Mexico City, glorifying God and praising God and worshiping God and declaring Jesus as Lord over Mexico. 800,000 people marching. At the end of the day at 5 o'clock, they began to break up all over the city into to mega cells, I'll call them, groups of meetings where people came together in miracle meetings, and it lasted from 5 in the afternoon to 5 the next morning, all night long, praying for the nation of Mexico. And miracle after miracle, thousands of miracles took place, documented miracles on that beautiful Marcha de Gloria. I'm telling you, God's shaking the old good old earth. He said he would shake the heavens and shake the earth. And one of the prophecies that we heard last week was that as the Lord shakes the heavens and shakes the earth, ancient wells are going to be shook loose and begin to flow. I like that, don't you? And we're already seeing that. We're seeing these ancient wells break forth and begin to flow among the body of Christ all over the world. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. One of the words that we heard last week was that all the prayer that's going forth for the nation is filling heaven's bowls. Now, I won't go into detail on this, but if you can imagine prayer bowls in heaven. And all the prayers of the saints are filling these bowls, big bowls. And when they get full, then they begin to lean one way and tip, and they pour out upon the earth. And so these prayers, even right here in Douglas, Arizona, and our little old, I won't say insignificant, but sometimes we feel that way. Our prayers are being added to the prayers of multitudes around the world. And the prayer bowls of heaven are about to tip. And watch out, devil, as God floods the earth with his glory. It's going to be so amazing. I just have to read this to you. It's so beautiful. 1964. How many remember 1964? The women that remember, don't raise your hands. I don't want to embarrass you because you're not that old. In 1964, my father-in-law was in the first year's class of Rhema Bible Training Center, and he graduated from that class the first year they had Bible school. And so during that time, Barbara and I were teenagers, but we as a family and we as a church, he was our pastor, we were introduced to Kenneth Hagin, a great Bible teacher and prophet that passed away a few years ago, and his son continues the work today at Rhema in Tulsa, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. But we still get, we still get the Word of Faith. Anybody here get the Word of Faith magazine? It's just good stuff. And I cut this little article out of it, this little excerpt that just amazing came from one of the writers for that magazine. It's labeled Today. Today is not dark, as some men would have you believe. Today is not desolate and desperate, as the media oftentimes would portray. Because today is the day of the Lord. A day of deliverance, a day of blessing, a day of visitation. It's a good time to say amen. Amen. For you see, those who walk with the Lord walk in light. And they walk by faith and not by sight. But those who walk in darkness cannot see. Yea, even the God of this world has darkened their minds. All they see is desolation and darkness and the end of time. The end of time will surely come. But remember, the Master said to us who walk and live in this time, when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads and look up, rejoice, for your redemption draweth nigh. So today is not dark. Today is bright. Today is light. Walk in the light, and all your pathways will forever be bright. Isn't that beautiful? You know, I just love hearing all these various camps within the body of Christ, you know, faith camps and grace camps and, you know, cell churches, and you could just go on all the different camps. By camps, I mean various ways to serve God. You know, a lot of people have different ways of serving God, and just because they're different don't make them wrong. Come on. God's too big to do it all my way. He's even too big to do it all my way and yours combined. He's going to do it his way, and it's a body thing. Huge. In the last month's Charisma magazine, there was an interview here by Steve Strang, the founder of Charisma, and he did an interview with Kenneth Copeland. And I'm going to just read a little bit of it. But as he talked to Kenneth Copeland about what's going on in today's world, this comes from Kenneth Copeland, and most of you know who we're talking about here, the great man of God. I still get his magazine, you know. At a time when many are saying America's best days are in the past and that God is abandoning our country, Copeland is optimistic that God is rebirthing America and has not abandoned us. I just love that so much because that's what I've been trying to tell you forever. I'm hoping you'll hear it from one of these bigger ministries. The reason, he says, is that America is the only nation founded by men who loved God. Israel was founded because God loved Abraham. But America was founded by men who loved God for the purpose of loving me. And Copeland says God spoke this to his spirit. He says, do you think our founding fathers, George Washington, John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, and others, had any idea what this nation would look like in terms of its purpose and meaning? And he asked, the answer is no. They had no frame of reference to know what was happening. Copeland said the Lord told him the Christian community has no idea of what God is doing to rebirth this nation. As he's prayed recently, Copeland has come to believe strongly that in spite of how things look, this is not the end of the United States. It is the end of what he calls a Babylonian system, which is trying to take over the country. A Babylonian system, as he explains it, is any system in which man tries to meet his needs without God. Copeland believes Christians must go back and confess the word of God, that this is one nation under God, and we must get back to that. Recalling the words of the late Smith Wigglesworth, who said, I am not moved by what I see. I am not moved by what I feel. I am only moved by what I believe. When people talk about the economy and how bad things are, Copeland states flatly from 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10, that the Holy Spirit tells us to roll all of our cares onto Him. It's one of God's marvelous promises. What about the political situation or the politicians and how awful the state of the nation will become if certain ones are elected? Who cares, says Copeland. We roll that care over on the Lord. Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. No matter what, have faith in God. This nation belongs to God, and no one will take it down. People might say it's going down or it's God's judgment, but it's not going down because it belongs to God. Wow. And I get excited when I read things that I agree with. And I try not to be so narrow-minded as to ask you to agree with me on anything or everything because, like I said, God's too big to do it all my way. And there's just so many beautiful ways to look at what God's doing and the Word of God. But the scripture is so clear that when things darken upon the earth, the light of the Lord shines on us, and we just get brighter and brighter. As the world around us gets darker and darker, the light in us shines brighter and brighter. And it's just, you guys are so bright. You knew that, didn't you? I got so much material here, but I can't begin to touch it all. One of the ministers last week in Mesa was Hal Sachs. Some of you know him. He's been here. And first of all, let me say that when someone's doing praise and worship that's highly anointed, you know, it's very rare that a minister will interrupt that. But someone, you know, with an apostolic anointing does have a right to interrupt a service. And if need be, if he feels the Holy Spirit's wanting to say something at a precise time. And we were right in the middle of a beautiful praise and worship. And all of a sudden, Hal goes was sitting down right over there about where Eric was in a much bigger building. And he starts running. He's the old guy like me, and he's running, you know. And he runs up the six steps and up the platform, and he grabs the mic out of the hand of the guy that's singing, leading the praise and worship. He said, God's got to have you. You've got to hear this now. Someone here needs this now. Well, he didn't know it, but I was the one that needed it. Now, there were 1,000 people there, so there's probably more than I that needed it. But I was bemoaning the fact that our numbers are down. And, you know, Lord, what are you going to do at your church here at 901 11th Street? You know, the numbers are down and la, la, la. Come on. And I was kind of bemoaning that at the point. And he goes running up and he says, God, somebody here needs to hear this now. You know what it was? Go like that. Say, I don't know. Tell me. He said, God says I'm looking for just 300 men. The guy went and sat down. They continued praise and worship. That hit me like a 45-70. If you do, I can tell you what that is later if you need to know, but it's a big gun. That hit me so hard. Here I'm saying, you know, Lord, why all the empty seats? And he said, I'm just looking for 300 men. Anybody here ever read the book of Judges and the story of a guy named Gideon? He started out with 30,000. The church was full, baby. I mean, they had to open up additional seating. They had to push back the wall. The church was packed. I'm paraphrasing now. I'm playing with it. 30,000, and then the Lord began to weed them out. Those that their hearts weren't in it, he sent them home. Boy, that'd be hard for a preacher to do. Say, if your heart's not in this today, there's the door. What pastor could do that, you know? Well, Gideon did that. The Lord instructed him to do that. And then the Lord continued to cultivate that group, and down from 10,000 down to 300 men. And those 300 men won one of the most magnificent battles throughout all the Bible history against tens of thousands of enemy soldiers. 300 guys obeying God. Hey, if we can have 300 guys, symbolically speaking, if we have 300 guys right here, we will defeat the enemy. All we got to do is obey God and quit bemoaning the empty seats. Everybody say, I am part of the 300. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, there's so much here to share. Do you mind staying till 3 o'clock? Mitch says, yeah, I mind. I'm hungry. I'm going to give you some prophecy highlights. That's all right, huh? Some of the things we've heard and are been hearing. I mean, you've ever seen a reality show on TV. That's a big thing now, right? Well, the Spirit of the Lord says reality church is about to begin. I could use some of that. Reality church is about to begin. Now, when I give you this next prophecy highlight, some of you will cry, some will shout, and some are going to look like, I don't know what to say. The Spirit of the Lord spoke clearly through multiple ministries. There will be a massive prodigal return to the church. So be it in Jesus' name. If there's a prodigal in your life, have hope, because the Spirit of the Lord says it clearly. There will be a massive prodigal return to the church. I tell you, if you're not saying amen, you don't have a prodigal in your life. Amen! Here's one some of you will enjoy. Spirit of the Lord says, your place of pain will now become your gain. Have you had any pain in your life? I know you have. I've had it too. God knows it hurts like hell sometimes, the stuff we go through. But you know what? I just believe this. I'm just radical enough to believe it when the Holy Spirit says, my place of pain is going to now turn into my place of gain. I just believe it. Don't get me excited. Oh, Jesus. Huh? Ooh, it's okay if you shout on this next one. Hellfire will misfire. I'm trying my best to contain myself. Hellfire will misfire. Isn't it about time? Power to prevail is being poured out. Power to prevail is soaking my remnant. I'm reading stuff that the Holy Ghost is speaking, guys. He says, my greatest campaign on earth is due. Decree it. He said what he's about to do, and then he put it on us. My greatest campaign on planet earth is due. Decree it. He's not going to do it till we decree it. God wants participation of his body. The head, Jesus Christ, is not going to bounce around doing everything without a body. It is not going to work like that. He's looking for participants. So he says, your part will be decree it. So we decree in Jesus' name that the greatest campaign on earth is due, and it's going to happen. He goes on to say, victory now, decree it. Revival now, decree it. Oh, somebody's going to like this. Because the revival that's in the womb of my intercessors will not be stopped because she's in her ninth month. Did you hear that? I never was a girl. I never was a pregnant woman. I guess you know that by now. But I lived with one through three pregnancies. And when that 9 months came, when that 9 months shows up, you're not going to stop that baby. When he says, I want to see some light, baby, he's going to see light. And the Holy Spirit of God himself spoke to us last week clearly. He said, the revival in the womb of my intercessors will not be stopped. Some of you ladies are to just get all excited about that, because I am. Ooh. A little more. You want just a few more? Before I give you those, please read Jeremiah 33:3. And I'm sorry I didn't give this to the sound people earlier to put it on the screen. So don't worry about it. We'll just read it. Jeremiah 3:3. I just gave you a whole bunch of exciting and heavy words from the Holy Spirit. And I want you to hear it now from the Word of God. If you're in your Bibles at Jeremiah 33:3, I want you to watch me read. The Lord says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. He didn't say, call unto me, and I will answer and show you things you've already seen. He didn't say, I'll show you things I did in the first great awakening or the second great awakening or the Azusa Street outpouring. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I'm going to show you what I did in 1972 in the charismatic movement. No, he said, I'm going to show you things you ain't seen yet, baby. Woo! You know, sometimes you get into the prophetic and people say, well, you're haywire. Your wires are crossed. You're goofy. What are you talking about? God's never done that before. His word just made a declaration and says, I'm going to show you things you ain't seen yet. Somebody hold me down. Nail my shoes to the floor. Ooh. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. This is too rich to not share you this next one, so I'm going to share it too. There was a lot coming forth about closing, I'm going to put it this way, closing what we call a generational gap. As hard as I try, as far as I bend, and as flexible as I can get to try to think like an 18-year-old, I just don't fully get there, because there is a generational gap. That's not, oh Jesus, help me. And we've been hearing a lot of words from several sources over a space of time about this gap closing up and God using one man, one person, one thrust of youth and elderly working together. And this became clear to us last week as a Native American had prophesied that God is about to mend the broken arrow. And he says, you know, the broken arrow has been a symbol of peace for generations, where they say, you know, when the Indian broke his arrow, he said, well, I'm not going to fight anymore. But this prophetic Native American says, I'm talking about a different kind of arrow. He said, I'm not talking about the broken arrow that, you know, that was a symbol of peace. I'm talking about the broken arrow of the man. You use the Indian terms of the brave and his bow and his arrow. And he says, the tip of the arrow, the point, is the youth. How many know youth are sharp? Yeah, they're sharp. They're the tip of the arrow. And the back of the arrow has feathers. What are they for? They guide the arrow. Huh? And he said, we've had, spiritually speaking, a broken arrow, and the arrow couldn't function because the tip didn't have its feathers, and the feathers didn't have its tip. And he says, the Holy Spirit's going to mend the arrow so it can do what it's intended to do. And here's some wisdom. You could even take them as warnings, but here's some wisdom. Remember the youth or the point, the arrowhead, the point, the feather is for the direction, the elderly. And here's the wisdom in this. For the elders, remember that the arrow is to go straight forward, not circle back like a boomerang to your past. I've experienced this many times when I, you know, even in a small scale here, where I hear the Spirit of the Lord doing something among the youth, and someone, you know, some of the elderly, they're like, "What? That's a little far out. That's way too wild. That's, you know, let's not go there." They want to boomerang back to the past of what they enjoyed. But we, as the elderly, have to remember that the arrow has to go straight forward, has to keep going straight forward. It can't boomerang back. Now, here's one for the youth, the wisdom for the youth in all this. This is so funny. Does God speak to people how they can hear it? Okay, this is for the youth. Remember, what are they? Arrowhead, what is that? Point, okay. Here's your wisdom. You're pointless when you don't have feathers on your tail. What's the point if you don't have feathers on your tail? I don't care how sharp that youth group is. I don't care how sharp that youth is. I don't care how sharp. It's, you call it the point, call it the arrowhead, call it the next move of God if you want to, but it's pointless without feathers to help guide it. And so what we want is the mended arrow with the feathers that have a vision for God's future, helping our point go straight forward the way God wants it to go into the future He has planned. I don't know about you, but things like this really bless me. Oh, and there's so much. Barbara even was going to preach. We were going to team preach today, and she was going to do some, and I was going to do some, and I'm using most of the time. But she's got some things for tonight too, right? Here's a prophetic word that came forth over a year ago. When it was time for my people to leave the bondage of Egypt and shift into the land that I promised, my glory surged. I presented my presence in fire and cloud, leading the way to the promised inheritance. Hear the word of the Lord. It is immutable counsel. Leave the bondage and enter the promised land. Delay no longer. Step into a season of greater glory and receive the promise after promise after promise after promise. Yokes of bondage will be broken under the increasing weight of my greater glory. I will increase the weight of my power and my presence, says the Lord, and I will shatter the tethered yoke. I will lead the way. Rise and shine. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. It is now the season when glory will surge upon you, and you in demonstrably real, tangible, visible ways. You enter my season of surge after surge after surge after surge of my glory. The presence of your King will surge among you. His radiant presence will fill your sanctuaries, and the weight of his presence will break hope deferred off of the heirs with wave after wave after wave of God's glory. You will be changed by glory to glory to glory to ever-increasing glory. You will be filled and filled and filled and refilled as the manifest presence of the Lord comes closer and closer and closer. You're entering into the season of unspeakable joy filled with glory. And I've got two more pages of that. You're going to get some more of it next week, Lord willing. I'm telling you, folks, makes me want to sing that old song that was so famous when I was a boy. God's not dead. He is alive. God's not dead. He is alive. God's not dead. He is alive. I feel him in my hands, feel him in my feet. I feel him all over me. Remember that? When I was 6, 7 years old, I used to hear Brother R.W. Schaumbach sing that out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on a radio program. I'm as old as dirt. I remember when God created Adam. God's not dead. Church's not dead. God don't lose. A church full of faith won't lose. You won't lose. But you can stand up. Fluff your pillows a little bit. If you can come back tonight at 6, we are going to have our, we just do twice a month, do this Spirit Fire service, totally non, we won't be formal tonight like I was this morning. So if you can come at 6, we will continue this. And I'll promise to give the microphone to Barbara. I'm telling you, folks, this is such an awesome day. I like what Brother Copeland says. What if so-and-so gets elected? Who cares? So, cast that care over on the Lord, baby. Cast it over on the Lord. And just, you know, if you want to pray, pray, Lord, let your will be done in this election as it is in heaven. Because you said, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I can say, let your will be done in this election as it is. Just pray that. And don't worry. God did some of his greatest miracles when Nebuchadnezzar was president. The miracle of Jesus coming to earth, Emmanuel, God with us. When the Roman Empire, the godless Roman Empire, was ruling little nation of Israel who had left God and was serving idols. Herod was president and Caesar was president. And did it stop God? Huh? Did it stop him? Did it worry him? Was he fretting about it? You're in a different world, baby. You're in a different world. We love that, those people. We love those people, but they're not going to rob us of our faith. Their political rhetoric won't rob us of our faith, because our kingdom's not of this world, and we're that arrow, hallelujah. We are that mended arrow. We've got the point. We've got the feathers. We're going to be on target with what God's doing in the earth today. We're going to be on target. Everybody say, I'm on target. If I can just get my wife to follow. And what I want you to do is, we've had such a beautiful time this morning in so many different ways. And, you know, how do you end, you know, what do you, let's just push it on pause. Just push it, put it on pause. And we'll push play again about 6 o'clock tonight. So at this point, I want you to give about 50 people a big hug and a kiss. Tell them you love them. And go have the best afternoon you ever had. God bless you.